have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, The Rock has come back home.
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not down with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Super Kick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's Scotty Villa. It's UK Tom. It's
fucking no one.
He's not here again.
No work. So, for the In My House listeners, the grand jury of the In My House podcast, we have sentenced Mike to the ultimate crime of being a Finn Balor level fucking loser. And banned him from the pod this week because he's a little bitch.
Not showing up for work. A midday text. Hey, guys, can't make it. Please don't bury me too hard on the show.
Yeah, well.
And now he's a Finn Balor-esque fucking loser.
Fucking loser.
Wow. Wow. Well. I mean, you just got to show up for work, pal, and none of this happens. Oh, please don't bury me on the pod.
You know who's not a fucking loser, though?
Zap.
The greatest of all time.
Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare. You're
no, he's a fucking twink. John Cena is a Grand Slam champion. And what did I say on the pod last week? He would retire as a Grand Slam champion.
You did say that.
I just got my timelines a little bit wrong.
Yeah, timeline, shmimeline. You called it. You really did. I didn't think they were going to do it. But
now that John is a
Grand Slam champion, it just adds to that greatest of all time moniker because people like me would have held it against him. The greatest of all time. He's not even a Grand Slam champion. This is the guy we're fucking saying is the greatest of all time. So it's very smart book. Sorry, go ahead.
I saw something on Twitter earlier, and as usual, I can't remember who tweeted it, but it's not my idea. I'm not taking credit.
It's mine. I'll take it.
I don't know how much the statistician in me loves the idea, and that's that Sheamus wins the tournament and then becomes a Grand Slam by winning the Intercontinental Championship from John Cena.
Love that.
I like that idea, but I still really would like John Cena to put over a brand new star in his final match. So Obafemi wins the Intercontinental title from John Cena, having won the tournament. WWE's problem right now, and this is a whole other topic for a whole other podcast, but they're having trouble building stars.
Yeah.
So if they smash somebody like Obafemi through this tournament and then have him take the title from John Cena, they've instantly got somebody already in the upper mid card that they can then push on the main roster into the main event slowly. I know you don't like people winning championships that quickly.
This makes sense.
I think would be an exception.
See, here's the thing. They should have slow burned Bron Breakker, and then this could be his moment. he could be the fucking guy to retire John Cena and finally win the Intercontinental Championship. Not have him fucking, he's been what, a two-time, maybe three-time Intercontinental Champion by now. He's only been on the remaining roster like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like they could have, but that just popped in my head as you were talking. I'm like, this could have been Bron Breakker, but I do agree. And so on Monday Night Raw, most of you, I'm sure, have already heard, for Saturday night's main event for John Cena's last match, that whole night is going to be the current day main roster versus opponents from NXT. So the future. It would make sense if you're doing a theme like that, and then the main event is John Cena, the quote unquote greatest of all time, against an up and comer from NXT that could be the future, and that man could be Oba Femi. I still think it's going to be Joe Hendry. That's just me. But I think we're both, I think it's one and two right there, because we've right now got two surprise entrants into this tournament. The first one we'll find out about this Friday. The next one we'll find about next Monday. Very curious about those. One match that you're fucking pumped about, I know you're pumped about, is Gunther versus Javon Evans.
Yes.
Which is like, where did this match come from? But fuck yeah, let's go.
So it's no secret that all of us on the In My House podcast, including that fucking loser Monday Night Mike, are huge fans of Gunther.
Yes.
And I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that Gunther works best when he's in there with an opponent smaller than him.
Mm-hmm.
So I am like, the matches he had with Ricochet were fantastic. The matches with Ilya, and Ilya is not small. It's just that Gunther is huge. And I'm very interested to see what they do with this match with Javon Evans, because part of me, because it's Gunther, I want him to kill him in about a minute. But I also don't want them to do that, because Javon Evans is incredibly talented and I think going to be a very big part of the future. So I'm very intrigued to see how this match goes, and Gunther returning and Javon Evans having his first match on Raw, both happening in Madison Square Garden. That's cool too.
Massive, massive. So here's an issue that we run into, Tom, with our predictions. I'm predicting Joe Hendry. You're predicting Oba Femi is one of your predictions.
I think there's more chance of Oba Femi beating Gunther than there is Joe Hendry.
That's the thing. At some point, Gunther is going to lose in this tournament.
Does Gunther get disqualified against Javon?
See, I like it. I was just going to bring up, how do we somehow get Gunther out of this tournament without it ruining his big return? He's been gone for 2-3 months, maybe more, since SummerSlam, I think.
If he comes back and just beats the ever-loving piss out of Javon, and Javon does that I'm not giving up babyface shtick, and Gunther just beats on him until the referee just disqualifies him for not breaking the five or whatever, that doesn't hurt Gunther. Mm-hmm. It means we get Javon again in a main roster match against whoever. Who is in the other match next week on Raw? It's a surprise and
Solo.
So, oh God.
Yeah. And then it's Gunther and Javon.
So if the surprise on Raw is Oba Femi, you have Oba run through Solo Sikoa, and then he can have a good match with Javon Evans, because they've proved that on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on to face whoever, whenever the final is.
Or, with your booking there, tweak it a touch. You have Oba Femi go through Solo, go through Gunther, and then beat John Cena.
And he'd have to beat somebody in the final. Jey Uso. Oh, God, I don't want Jey Uso in the final.
Well, on the other side, there's a surprise. There's Jey Uso. There's Rusev. There's fucking
Oba Femi and Rusev. Ooh.
Might be a bit clunky, but I think they'd get it together. Those are two big boys, and Oba Femi hasn't been working very long, but
he's pretty damn good for the time he's been working.
Yes. I'm super intrigued. I'm very much looking forward to SmackDown to just see who this surprise entrance is. don't let us down. And I'm not saying it's got to be Jericho or Edge or even fucking Joe Hendry. It doesn't have to be Joe Hendry. It can't be just another guy on the roster that hasn't been around a while.
I got to be honest. If it's Joe Hendry, that's going to disappoint me. That's going to let me down.
For me, I'm very much like, I've heard Joe Hendry do interviews and podcasts where he's saying, I need to wrestle John Cena. And John Cena has responded by saying, as long as you're loud, the voices will hear you. So to me, it makes sense.
There's a difference. John Cena
and Joe Hendry seemed very similar to me in their character. As in, like, it's a little bit campy, right?
Oh, right.
It's a little bit goofy. That's it, right? When it comes to work rate or anything else, it's completely different. But so there's similarities there.
The reason can you remember Triple H was cutting promos about retiring Mick Foley when Mick Foley wasn't retired anymore?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can see them doing that with the person that technically retires John Cena. And I just think and I know there are so many people in this tournament that are older than him, but I just imagine, and they should, whoever wins this tournament is getting a rocket strapped to them. And I think Joe Hendry is a little too old for the rocket.
I don't disagree with you there. Not one bit.
What I would like to see with Joe Hendry, I like Joe Hendry. Don't take anything I've said about him in the tournament as I don't like him. I do. I think Joe Hendry needs to come into NXT like people like Bobby Roode and can I only think of one example? James Storm, even though he only did it for two matches.
Yeah.
Come into NXT, have a good run working with the younger guys, and then maybe come up to the main roster, maybe don't.
I wouldn't hate that. But it does feel like WWE is really attaching themselves to Joe Hendry. Like, he's doing house show loops for NXT. He did the overseas loop with WWE last time. He had a series of matches with Miz.
Yeah, in Scotland.
Like, but it's getting reps. They're getting eyes on him. They're obviously doing something. I don't think Obafemi's out there doing house shows for the main roster.
They had Joe Hendry from Scotland on the Scottish house shows.
True.
You're not wrong.
But you are right that it makes sense for a Rocket to be on Obafemi or a Bron Breakker, someone who's young and in their 20s that you can see the future there.
I mean, Baron Corbin didn't shut up about retiring Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle was a shell of himself by the time that match happened.
Yeah. And it would be a great way to have Obafemi be maybe even a bit of a tweener, because he could be like, I beat John Cena. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. He's retired. Yeah. But people still respond in a positive way to him because he is such a beast in the ring.
Yeah. So because of the time change and things like that, now we're usually both watching Raw at the same time now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we were watching Triple H's blowjob of a promo, which I was getting fed up with.
How many times can you say in like 7 minutes, we're here to celebrate the greatest of all time? That's the GOAT, and he's the greatest, and he's the best. And just holy fuck. Just, you said the same thing 10 fucking times. Get on with it.
When he said we live in a world where nobody agrees on anything, which obviously with the state of things in America right now, I was like, ooh, where are you going?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
He was just talking about the PG era.
Yeah, sure. That's what that was. Monster pop for John Cena. Huge. I had a question for you though that I was going to ask in the chat last night, but I thought I'd save it for the show. Do you think this opening the show hurt the crowd?
Yeah, they were probably burnt out. Like, they were still loud for a good chunk of the night.
But
they were probably burnt out because that first, 40 minutes between the opening promo and the match? Yeah.
If I was booking, and people would be very happy that that's never going to happen, but if I was booking, this would have been the last 40 minutes of the show.
That's fair. Yeah. The match after, what was that? Was that Sheamus and Shinsuke?
No, that was Rusev and Priest.
Okay. That match suffered the most from that opening.
Yeah.
Which was tough. Because both those guys can go, they can work. It's fun seeing Shinsuke back, but I don't think they're doing too much with him. So yeah, it hurt.
It makes me happy seeing that the crowd is always happy to see Shinsuke though.
Oh, absolutely. They sing the song and I love that. I will say this. I didn't hear, this isn't my opinion. I heard this on Busted Open because they actually had this conversation on Tuesday. If they had put the Dom Cena Triple H segment and then match at the end, do you think that would have been more of a giveaway that, oh, John Cena's getting the title for sure?
Well, I think it was a giveaway. He was getting the title regardless of where it was.
There was a part of me is like, he's going to weasel out of this. And then this is the match at Survivor Series.
The only thing that surprised me, and I said it in the chat, I thought it was going to be the bell rings, attitude adjustment, the bell rings. The fact that it was actually a competitive and fairly decent for current day John Cena match. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's as nice as I can be about it. I was very surprised. And Dominic Mysterio, and I know we basically blow him every week on this podcast, but
happily,
he's so fucking good.
So good. It's
what, and one thing that, so you remember in part of the promo last night, Dom kind of got in Triple H's face.
Yes.
The fact that we're never going to be able to see Triple H hit Dominic Mysterio with a pedigree. Like if that robot heart has just got one pedigree left in you, it's gotta be on Dom.
It's gotta be on Dom, man. I would love to see Dom just pestering Triple H every week until he gets the championship back at some point. Just every day in Gorilla, you screwed me, you stole my title, all for this guy that's leaving. He's gone. He's an old man.
It'd be so good.
Oh, and, it'd be great.
Kind of related, but not. Adam Pearce does a fantastic job as the Raw general manager. He's probably the best on-screen general manager there's ever been.
Yes.
But what a lot of people may not know about him is he's got one of the best working punches in the history of wrestling.
Oh, really?
He is up there with Jerry Lawler and Bret Hart and Terry Funk for his punches. And I would just love just have Adam Pearce haul off and just wail away on Dom Mysterio 1 week. Fuck, book it on a paper. You remember when we used to get these random ass matches every now and again, and they were just for the fuck of it, and they were fun? Because like Dominic Mysterio could beat Adam Pearce, and then he can just throw that in his face all the fucking time.
Dude, I love it. It would be great. It would be so much fun.
Guarantee you Adam Pearce can still go.
Oh, he's definitely got matches left in him. Definitely. And, same with Nick. Nick Aldis too. He could do it too.
I would be very, very happy if they ran back Cody and Nick Aldis in the WWE.
I've been waiting for it. Dude, I did it in my video game this year. I downloaded a Nick Aldis and I had them feuding for the World Championship on SmackDown for like 4 months.
Can you remember last year? Well, this year's WrestleMania when KO was out. Nick Aldis was one of our top picks to be the Randy Orton opponent because Randy kept RKO in him.
I think at this point now, I'm pretty sure they were just doing that to get everybody off the scent of, oh, it's Joe Hendry, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not even really sure. Was anybody on that scent? I certainly wasn't.
I don't think so, but yeah, I don't remember. It was a while ago and WrestleMania kind of sucked. So can I confess something to you?
Sure.
And no one's listening. It's just me and you, Tom.
No, that's probably pretty accurate. Fuck you, listeners. No, we love you.
I legitimately got goosebumps when John went last night. I did. It's in his hometown. That pop was huge. It was a fun match. Dom fucking crushed it as this chicken shit heel. I got goosebumps. I was happy for the guy.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of a lot of fun.
Me?
The Survivor Series is coming up.
Yes, it is.
And is it still the Big Four or is it the Big Five now with Money in the Bank? I keep hearing the Big Five.
People have added Money in the Bank into being, it's now the Big Five. It'll always be the Big Four. Yeah, it's Rumble, it's Mania, it's SummerSlam, it's Survivor Series.
I like Money in the Bank, but it's not there.
No. I don't understand why people think it is, but it's a younger generation doing this, so yeah. It's perfectly fine, I guess. I'm not going to argue it, but I'm a big four guy.
We got one of the big four coming up. That's always fun.
Yeah, at the end of the month, it's Survivor Series, and I've put it up on our socials at In My House Pod a couple times. I'm spending some time on my weekends just throwing on random Survivor Series. Usually, I go back to the golden era of WWF and their Survivor Series matches. But this year, I'm strictly sticking to Attitude Era and up. And I started off with Survivor Series 2000. Then I started watching 2002. I'm going to watch 2006. And then I'm going to pick a pretty recent one before the real Survivor Series for this year comes up. So I'm going to try and stay away from the PG era as much as I can, because I
don't blame you.
It's not great, but those Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era ones are pretty fun with Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle and all those guys. Yeah, but you came up with a fun idea for this week.
We thought we'd come up with it was supposed to be the three of us, but the fucking loser didn't come to work.
Should be, yeah.
We thought we'd just go through a list of our top three Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
Mike doesn't count because he doesn't show up to work. And so we'll go 3-2-1 of our Survivor Series matches. Side note, just because you mentioned it, Survivor Series 2000 is my favorite Survivor Series.
Really?
Because it was my first one.
Oh, that makes sense. That's what is it? Snake Pants Undertaker? Is that what they call it?
Snake Pants Undertaker.
Against Kurt Angle for the World Championship.
But top three of the Survivor Series, coming in third place for me, is a traditional Survivor Series elimination match, which I miss. I wish they were still here. Save War Games for when it's needed. Don't shoehorn a story into War Games. Do it the other way around.
I agree.
But from 2003, It is Team Eric Bischoff versus Team Stone Cold Steve Austin, where Shawn Michaels cuts the top of his head off, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. And the talent in this match is insane. I'm not going to list the whole teams because we'll be here all day. But
the drama, though, dude, of Shawn trying to save Stone Cold's job.
Yeah. And you've got the final four are Shawn Michaels on his own. And then you've got Chris Jericho, Christian, and Randy Orton. Unreal. And then you've got Steve Austin when he's retired, but he's still a fucking beast. Yeah. Stomping around the ring, and Bischoff still being an amazing on-air character.
Yeah.
Just, it was fun. And JR on commentary is fantastic.
Yeah, man, that was in the heat of it because Austin had to retire early because of his neck issues and everything like that, but he was still under contract, so he still had work to do, right? So him as like the co-GM with Bischoff or whatever it may be.
And then they made him the sheriff.
Or the sheriff, yeah, yeah. JR was unreal at that time. Stone Cold was unreal, just having a blast. But there are some times for me where I remember watching that era and going, man, I could just tell Stone Cold would rather be working.
Yeah.
But the storyline going into Survivor Series was super fun.
What do you got at your number three, Scott?
Number three, this isn't necessarily my official top three, but just three of the matches that I usually watch every year, even if it's just I find the match, I will make sure I watch it every year, is 2006.
Ooh.
It is Team Rated RKO versus Team DX, where the match starts off with Shawn Michaels super kicking Mike Knox immediately and getting the pin, and then Shawn getting up going, who's that guy?
It's also the birth of the Shawn Michaels and Melina gif.
Yes, it is.
Which makes me howl every time I see it.
Yeah. So it was Edge, Randy Orton, Gregory Helms, Johnny Nitro, and Mike Knox on Team Rated RKO versus Shawn Michaels, Triple H, CM Punk, Matt, and Jeff Hardy. So the baby faces, none of them got eliminated.
Shocking.
None of them. It was a clean sweep. Also, the crowd was heavily behind CM Punk.
It was awesome.
To the point where I felt like Triple H is trying to get the rub from Punk because the crowd fucking loved Punk.
Hey, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah, right? But that's That's a fun one. Back in the WWE Network days, they used to do like just a half hour show, or it was just like, hey, this is this match from Survivor Series. I used to record them all, my PVR, have a ton of them. So this match always popped up. It was great. What do you got for number two?
So mine's, this is the most recent one on my list.
Okay.
And it's from 2018. And it is Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan.
So good. Fuck, I forgot about that one.
And that's where Daniel Bryan spent the first 10 minutes of this about 25-minute match just trying to piss off Brock Lesnar.
Fucking forgot about that, but yes.
Such a good match. And Brock Lesnar, he's much like, he's like Gunther. When he's working with a smaller opponent, fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
This match is awesome.
There was a couple years there where it was like champion versus champion. Brock, so we got AJ. Brock versus Daniel Bryan. We got Brock versus AJ. You know, it was almost Brock versus Jinder Mahal, but AJ had a title, I think, a week or two before in the UK, before Survivor Series. And then we got Brock and AJ. We're like, fuck yeah. I don't think it was Survivor Series, but we also got a Brock versus Finn Balor at some point.
That was at the Rumble.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but I enjoyed those matches and champion versus champion. I was like, just do a Survivor Series team and do that. But man, Brock versus Daniel Bryan, good call, dude. Yeah.
What do you got for number two?
Number two, we're going back to, I believe it's 2002. And we're going with the very first ever Elimination Chamber match.
Well, that's my number one.
Ooh, ooh. Dude, I just watched this match again this past weekend, and it had been a bit, not super long, but it had been a bit since I'd watched it from beginning to end without picking up my phone or, you know, just having it on the background. Dude, this match is fucking great. That steel cage where the original Elimination Chamber, where there's no give, no protection, no padding.
The only chamber they should ever use. The jungle gym should be retired and they should bring back this chamber. Or don't do it.
I agree. Just even the spectacle look of the original chamber is unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's so fucking cool and menacing looking.
The new chamber just looks safe.
Yeah, it is.
But this is also the match where Triple H gets his throat crushed. So,
dude, that moment, now that we all know when it happens and how it happens, is fucking terrifying.
Yes.
And seeing him writhing in pain hurts. It actually hurts watching it.
And you get Shawn Michaels in his poop trunks.
Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler of all time. He's the greatest of all time. I will never say a bad word about Shawn Michaels ever, except for this night when he just told at some designer, you pick it out for me. And she's like, we're going to go with some earthy colors. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And he got shit brown tights. And
what the hell was up with his hair?
He had the bowl haircut. The
bowl
haircut. I'm just like, dude, why didn't you just wrestle in jeans? Why would you put those tights on? Because he wins the World Heavyweight Championship. So that's forever enshrined. He's got the big gold belt and these fucking brown ass fucking tights. So when it's video games and t-shirts and images and action figures of that moment, he looks like a fucking dope. I hate it so much, but I love the fact that he won the big gold belt. I love that he won the first ever Elimination Chamber match. It's such a fun match with RVD, Booker T, Kane, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. Am I forgetting somebody? Jericho's in there too.
Jericho.
But man, the tights really throw me off. But dude, that's your number one, eh?
That's my number one.
I remember watching it. Do you remember watching it live?
Yeah, it was only the second only Shawn Michaels match I ever saw.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah, that's the second match.
It was Triple H at SummerSlam and then the Chamber.
That's right. That's right, too. Man, that storyline when Triple H jumps him in the parking lot and we just see the bloody images.
Oh, it was so cool.
And then when Shawn Michaels is like in the wheelchair on like via satellite and he's just like, I should be good to go. Stay around. SummerSlam and the crowd fucking pops and huge. Triple H is like, no, dude. That comeback, because Shawn was my guy, was the greatest thing ever.
Sean was my guy after those two matches. I went back. I found everything.
Love that.
Which back in 2002 was fucking hard to do.
So what's your favorite match of Sean's from his first run?
From his first run?
Yeah.
Sean and Foley. I forget which pay-per-view it was.
When was that? Oh, it was Mind Games.
Mind Games, yes.
Yeah, In Your House. Sorry, I was just like, I was really thinking, like, when did he fight Foley? No, it's Mankind. Mind Games, where Foley goes head first through the table.
Yeah. And special shout out to the Rockers versus the Orient Express from Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble 92?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great match too.
Awesome.
Love that. Fuck it.
What's your number one from Survivor Series?
My number one that I legitimately watch this match every year. It's from 1992 Survivor Series. It is the World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Champion Shawn Michaels challenging for the World Wrestling Federation Championship against Bret Hart.
Very good match.
I hate the Montreal Screwjob with a passion. I don't think it should be celebrated. I don't think it should be talked about every year. It's a giant black eye on the WWE. I hate that there's merchandise and t-shirts around it. Yeah. It's an awful night. It's an awful moment in wrestling on all sides. All sides. And it makes people forget that this match in 1992 happened. Bret and Shawn had a great match at Survivor Series in 1992.
I would say that's the best match the two of them ever had.
See, but 97 overshadows everything that either one of those guys have done in a Survivor Series up until that point.
Yeah.
And it bothers me so much. I hate the screw job. I hate that it's brought up every year. I hate that a few years ago, they like WWE like celebrated it and had like specials about it. And they put out merchandise like, get the Survivor Series commemorative t-shirt from 1997. I'm like, fucking what? No, this ruined lives.
Yeah.
I think it did. I think it ruined lives, but
I think Bret should have just done his job.
I think it all could have been avoided if they just talked about it like adults.
That's true. We could do a whole episode on the multi-role.
But 92 is a great match. Go out and check it out. Very technical. It's 1992. So Bret and Shawn wrestle. Like it's a great wrestling match. And I love that it was like for just the one title where Bret was, or Shawn was like, yeah, I'm coming out with both.
I hate that. Like, don't put champions against each other, but. We got to mention it. Our friends from CWE are back in the Queen City next week, Thursday, November the 20th at the Gathering Place. So come gather with us to watch some pro wrestling. And there's no snow on the forecast, which I think will mean for the first time for their November show, we won't be freezing our tits off.
Dude, I think either Wednesday or Thursday next week is supposed to be plus 13.
What the fuck?
So that's huge fucked. If that stays that way. But yeah, CWE's coming to town, man. Like we haven't seen them in a while just because they've been doing their other tours, and this is their time of year that they're back in our area. I'm fucking super pumped to go watch some live pro wrestling again.
And they're bringing Austin Aries with them.
Austin Aries is coming. Hey, the champion, Chad Daniels, is going to be there.
Big Chief.
Big Chief's involved. Michael Allen, Richard Clark is working.
Cole
Bodner.
If we have to sit through Austin Aries, I'm very, very glad they put him in with Michael Allen and Richard Clark.
It's right?
The only match I wanted to see.
Headline Shawn Martin's going to be there. He's going to be all oiled up. He's going to have a robe on.
And he had a haircut.
He's going to call one of us a pussy, I'm sure. I hope it's not me. It's
usually me. Hey, at the last show, I was a conniving cunt.
That's true. CWA puts on an amazing pro wrestling show. They're touring all over Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and maybe in Alberta, but just check them out online. They've got a tour coming up in Ontario as soon as this one's done as well. Check it out whenever they come by. Hit up their socials, Canadian Wrestling Elite, CWE. All you got to do is Google it. All their socials will pop up. Give them a follow. It's an awesome night of pro wrestling. So go check it out. Hey, we got a championship match. Maybe we'll see a new champion crown. I don't know.
Maybe Scotty, we have 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Saturday night's main event, NXT versus main roster. What do you want to see?
So my initial reaction is we need to see Oba Femi, but he hasn't even really been in NXT for the last few months. He's been off TV, and I think he's involved in this tournament.
Yes.
I'd like to see JC Jane come up and work with somebody.
Oh, that's something nobody's ever said before.
She's been the champion there for quite a while, so I think she's probably like one of the most veteran NXT women in their locker room. Maybe her and Fallon Henley can come up and do a tag team match against Kabuki Warriors. I wouldn't be against that.
I wouldn't hate that.
Wouldn't hate that. Ethan Page needs to come up though and work with somebody.
Well, he fits nicely into what I want.
What do you want? What do you want?
Ethan Page and Chelsea Green are the AAA mixed tag team champions.
Right. Yeah.
I want those defended on Saturday night's main event.
Against some luchadors from AAA, or do you want them fighting WWE superstars?
They could be against a luchador from AAA and a main roster lady, or somebody from AAA and somebody from NXT. Not fussy. Just want those two on Saturday night's main event.
Love that. Do not hate that at all. I love that. I want to see Jordynne Grace wrestling somebody.
Jordynne Grace can team with El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. and challenge Ethan Page and Chelsea Green.
There you go. There you go. You just solved the problem. Just solved the problem. I think we need to see Ricky Starks against... Who's the United States champion right now? I hate that Ilya. I have to ask that question. There you go. Ricky Starks versus Ilya Dragunov. You don't have the NXT champion versus the United States champion.
Ilya, don't do champion versus champion. Ilya Dragunov should do his open challenge at Saturday night's main event and have a banger with an NXT star.
Who? Give me a name. That guy.
I can't fucking think of anybody's name. Holy fuck. Mr. Iguana. I don't know.
I think we see Trick Williams on this card.
Oh, do we have to?
I think he's just the next one of the next call-ups.
But he's awful.
I know. I just think we see Trick come up. Maybe he'll fight Carmelo. Who knows? But I love it. We're going to be speculating on this for a little bit. We're almost out of time, pal, so we better shut it down. Mike, you're not fucking here.
Fucking loser.
The UK Tom and Scotty V are the only people that show up to this fucking show every week. This has been the Miles Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Bye. Welcome to Miles.